Take a minute and stretch our hands to them and just bless them this morning. Praise God. I don't know if my voice is cracked, but I says, let's just stretch our hands towards them and bless them. My throat is a little bit dry. Father, we just want to thank you for these servants. We thank you for their hearts. Father, we just ask, oh God, that you would protect the bond of unity among them. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence that is on their lives. We bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. And all the time. Amen. That's his nature. And there's nothing we can do about it. Amen. Just have a PowerPoint. There we go. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your word this morning. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, because in it there is life and light that is able to shine in our hearts. And any darkness that's therein would not be able to overcome it. And Father, as your word goes forth this morning, it's not my words, Father, it's yours. So Father, do that which you have set and appointed for it to do in our lives together. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that I would decrease and you would increase, that you would have and take all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we were talking. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We just welcome you in this place this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you. We need you. We just welcome you in this place to have your way. In Jesus' name. So I was saying last week, it's a little bit loud, we talked about life on the edge. And if you are here today and you missed it, it's available on our website at grandvalley.on.ca, as well as on our Facebook page. We talked about how the Word of God is important in the life of believers. It gives us the superpower of discernment, which is the practice of knowing what is from God and what is not from God. The power is constantly practiced by mature believers. This power is necessary because it helps us to deal with life on the edge. Many times God will bring circumstances and situations that will put us on the edge. We said that living on the edge is a place where God has brought us, where we have to make a decision. Either we choose to move by faith or allow fear to cripple us and move us away from God. Now, we need God's word to move forward in faith. Can I get an amen? All right? That is why he gave it. God intends for us to move forward in life by faith. In Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We need the word of God. We need the word of God. A Christian that does not read, study, meditate on the word of God will always lack faith. Will be stuck in infancy. Wouldn't be able to discern, and as a result, will always be crippled by fear in the midst of obstacles. Now, God will bring us to the edge so that we can study the Word, so that we can meditate on the Word, so that we can hold on to the Word of God, so that faith may be built up in our hearts through hearing His Word, so that we can move towards maturity, in which we get to practice the powers of discernment. Knowing what is good, knowing what is evil. And as a result, we will always move forward in faith. Because God intends that we move forward. Today I want to talk a little bit about moving forward. Amen? Hebrews 6:1-3. We're going to chew a little bit this morning. Amen? So if you haven't exercised your jaw, just do a quick, warm up. Because there you go. We're going to chew on the word of God this morning. Amen. Hebrews 6, 1 and 3 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity. Let's say this together, not laying again a foundation. Let's say, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instructions about washing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Amen. So the call to maturity, which allow us to move forward by faith, also requires that we leave some good things behind. Amen. There's some things that God is saying that we need to leave behind. One of those things is repentance from dead works. It says, not laying again a foundation of dead works. Now, repentance in 2 Chronicles 7:14 sounds like this. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Repentance requires humility. Will humble themselves, praying, seeking God's face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Here we see repentance. It's an act of humbling oneself. It's an act of praying. It's an act of seeking God's face. And it's an act of turning away from our wicked ways. Amen? Wicked ways, wicked ways, wicked ways. Turning away from our wicked ways. Now, once followed, the Bible says that once we do this, God says that he will save us. How will he do it? He will hear us. He will forgive us. And he will heal us. Now, moving forward, and you're going to hear a lot about moving forward, because moving forward to maturity requires that we leave behind repeated behaviors that will lead us to repentance, in which we experience God's ability to hear, forgive, and heal. Now, although repentance from dead works is an expression of God's grace to us, we need to move forward from behaviors, and I say it again, and situation, dead works in our lives that keeps us always repenting. There is more. Amen? And we need to move forward. It says, not laying again the foundation of faith towards God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Can you imagine? It's saying that we ought not to lay again foundation to faith towards God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance and conviction of the things hoped for and not seen. Assurance and conviction have two things in common. It talks about confidence. Confidence. The mature believer is confident in who God is, and he will do what he says he will do. Their confidence. Obstacles don't make God less than who he is. When good times come, the mature believer praise God. When not so good times come, the mature believer praise God. You can talk to God about the obstacles, but don't allow the obstacle to dictate who God is. God, I don't have this, so that means you're not my provider. God, I'm still sick. It means that you're not my healer. Once we question who God is, the Bible says we can't receive anything from him. In James 1, 6 and 8, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So when the mature believer faces obstacles, They don't question the person of God. They place the questions before God. Amen? They move forward. It don't look good, God, but you are good. I don't know how, God, but you are my way maker. I don't know why, but I will trust you and lean not on my own understanding. It is not logical. It is not popular. But God calls it faith. And the mature believer have it. And they lived every day by faith in God. There's some things that we have to leave behind. It says, not laying again a foundation of instructions about washing. Hebrews 9:14. Am I moving too fast? I'm just excited. I'm telling you, I'm just excited. So if I'm moving too fast, you can just say, slow down. I'll slow down. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Washing represents consecration. It's the means in which God has set apart us for himself. And he did it through the blood of Jesus. Laying a foundation about washing is the disbelief that Jesus' blood and the work on the cross is not sufficient to save me. That's what it's all about. The mature understands that Jesus is enough. His blood is enough. They don't question their position of being set apart. I am set apart by God through Christ for him. There is no debate about that. They know that they are sons and daughters of God. And they set their paths on serving God. That's what they just set their paths on serving God. Jesus is enough for my sins. Amen? Jesus is enough for your sins. Can I get an amen? Any doctrine that tells you that you need to do all kind of acrobatics in order for your sin to be forgiven is a lie. Jesus is enough. Amen? Jesus is enough. Praise God. Not laying again a foundation of laying of hands. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect. Did I tell you guys we're going to go through some scriptures here? So you can just note it and get back to it later on. Amen. It says, do not neglect the gifts you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Timothy is commissioned. He was commissioned by the elders of the church in which the prophetic word of God was released over his life. And his God-given gifts were stirred up. God has put gifts in every believer. Amen? In every believer. One of the ways we stir it up is by laying of hands. Amen? One of the ways we stir is laying of hands and even speaking the prophetic. Praise God. In Mark 16:18, it says, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Laying of hands, it has to do with the power of God to heal. You know God still heals? Despite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. Amen. God still heals. And laying of hands represents the commission by the church and the releasing of God's power to heal. Amen. So the mature believer understands that there is more to this thing than gifts and commissioning. Jesus. Move on to maturity. Let's move forward. Not laying again a foundation of resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:17 and 21 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. And 1 Corinthians 15:2. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Now, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, we will declare, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? To believe that there is no resurrection from the dead is to believe that Jesus did not conquer sin and that death has claimed victory. However, the mature believer believes that Jesus is risen. Amen? And one day, he will change, that we will be changed. One day, we will move from a perishable body, perishable body, that's it, to an imperishable, from mortality to immortality. We will one day rejoice over death, declaring, death is swallowed up in victory. It's the word of God. Say with me, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Oh, death, that day, where is your sting? These words, oh, death, where is your victory? But God says, move on. We have this assurance and hope. And this hope, it allows us to be according to 1 Corinthians 15:8. This hope that we have, that one day we will be like him. We will be in a resurrected body. It allows us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. And the Bible says that God is not unjust to forget our labor of love in which we labor towards the saints. And he encourages us to keep on serving. Keep on laboring. Keep on being steadfast. I mean, God is in heaven cheering us. Amen? Keep on keeping on. There's some things that will not release to you until you put your hands to the plow. There's some gifts that you're sitting on. It will not flourish unless you put your hands to the plow. It's true. If I didn't have this platform and putting my hands to the plow, I wonder what I'd be doing. Well, probably be home with my wife. Honey, kids! Then collect offering, my own money. Oh, man. I don't know. It just doesn't. It's not the same. It's just not the same. He says, not laying again a foundation of eternal judgment. Revelation 20:11-5. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And then they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And it's like they want us to make sure we got it, right? This is the second death, the lake of fire. Okay. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the, there it is again, lake of fire. Revelation 22:12, he says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. There's lots of theology that goes around that says, hey, there's no judgment. You know, we're all going to be together just jumping up. Doesn't matter what you do. But there is a judgment. There is a book of life. There is a lake of fire. And God is coming soon to repay us according to our deeds. The author of Hebrews gives us two reasons we should go back to these elementary teachings. He says in Hebrews 6:3, if God permits, and if someone turns away from God, although it may be a bit impossible to get them back, but this is when we go back to it. If God permits, and if someone turns away from God. When we look at Hebrews 6:4 and 5, it says, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come. And it went on to say, it's almost impossible for them to come back. But we know that all things are possible with Christ. All things are possible. And he went on to share that there is a slight hope that somebody who turned away could come back. Now, what I want us to see in this chapter is the kind of work, the elementary teachings of God does for us. It says, it enlightens who have tasted the heavenly gift. When we become saved, we are enlightened. We have encountered Jesus and we open our hearts to the things of God. The second thing that happens, we share in the Holy Spirit. His gifts, his healing power. We taste, the third thing, we taste the goodness of God's word. We see God's word fulfill in our own lives. And then we taste the power of the age to come, which is what? The hope that we have in Christ Jesus that is connected to his resurrection and judgment. Hallelujah. Are you chewing? Are you exercising your jaw? You know, you can just, all right, here we go. Now, why did God give this to us and ask us to leave it behind? In Hebrews 6:7, say something. It says, for land that has drunk the rain that often falls in it and produce a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. So why do we need the elementary teachings, yes. Why do we need to leave it? Because the elementary gifts is to cultivate us to produce a crop. Amen? A vegetation, a harvest. It's useful to others. In doing so, we receive a blessing. The Bible says it cultivates a crop that is useful for others. Praise God. And then we receive a blessing. Now, notice the crop produce is not our blessing. The production, the vegetation, the harvest, it's not our blessing. It's blessings for others. God himself will give us our blessing. That's what the Bible said. God himself will give us our blessing. And what is this blessing? We need it, and we need it to move forward. But what is this blessing? In Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, it says this. Sorry. You see, I have a little bit of an advantage here because I actually read through the whole chapter. I mean, the book of Hebrews, right? So I'm going to outline, when you have sometimes dive in. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will, you may receive what is promised. And in Hebrews 1 and 2, it says that, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. The blessing is for us to do the will of God through faith and inherit his promises. To do his will through faith and inherit his promises. I need to know and do the will of God for my life. You need to know and do the will of God for your life. We gain it through faith. Through faith, we inherit God's promises. The elementary doctrines are the launching point for believers. You ask me, so Pastor, what does this look like? What does this look like? I'm happy you ask. Here we go. Hebrews 13, 33 to 40. It says, who through faith, and we're talking about some of the men of old, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep, of goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, through, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, he's talking about them, they should not be made perfect. A life of faith. Wow. Praise God. God is good. And all the time. In Luke 18, Jesus was talking to the disciples about a parable. And he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? Hebrews 10:30, it says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is tough stuff. Are you guys chewing? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The elementary teachings is the platform which the Holy Spirit reproduced faith for us to seize God's will and inherit his promises for our lives. Hence, the author of Hebrews tells us, while it's foundational for us, we need it. We need these doctrines. We need to leave it behind and move forward to maturity. And move forward to maturity. We got to move. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to move. I got to move. Amen. When God instructed the children of Israel to build a tabernacle, it was so that he could set up a system in which he can forgive their sins and dwell in their midst. Now, the tabernacle consisted of three parts. There was the outer part where the priest did all the killings and for sins and the washing. There was the holy place that which consisted of the lampstand, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense. And only the priests, the sons of Aaron, could enter into the holy place. And then you had the holies of holies, right? Where you have the Ark of Covenant. It's a box that was layered with gold. it contained Aaron's rod made of almond wood. And tablets with God's commandments and a bowl of manna. It also consisted of a mercy seat that was placed on top of it. And there was two cherubim angels on top, and they were representing God's judgment. Now, only the high priest went into the holies of holies. And when the Bible says when the high priest would take some blood and put it on the mercy seat, that the presence of God would actually fall on the tabernacle. Jesus has kicked open the doors of the tabernacle. He has led us forward into the outer court and then forward into the holy place by the shedding of his blood. He has become the light of the world, the lampstand. He is the bread of life, which represents the showbread. In his name, we are able to offer up prayers. It's like sweet incense unto God. He has broken the veil that separates the holy place from the most holy place. Now, we can now move forward into the most holy place. This is a place where the blood of Jesus is spilled on the mercy seat, giving us access to what is inside of the ark, of the Ark of Covenant. Amen. And what is there? Manna, which symbolizes God's provision for us. The Bible says that he is able to provide for all our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. What else does he have in there? He has his word. Amen. He has his word of life. He also has the rod of Aaron, the almond rod. In Jeremiah 1, 11 and 12. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what is it that you see? Jeremiah says, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. I am watching over my word to what? To perform it. So we have the access. God, we are living in a time that God is looking over his word to perform it. That is the time that we're living in. He is looking over his word to perform it. That's why he goes, I sought for a man. God is always seeking for a man to stand in the gap in the most holies of holies. He is seeking for a man. He's looking for a man and a woman. He's looking for somebody because he wants to show the world through us that he can provide. He wants to show the world that through us he will perform signs and miracles. He will do what he says he will do. I'm looking over my word to perform it. The Church of Jesus Christ, we need to get with the program. We need to get with his program. Amen. We need to wake up from our slumber. Amen? There are giants in this place. We need to wake up from our slumber and get with the program. We need to get with the program. His program. When God's presence came, do you know what Moses and Abraham did? Do you know what they did? Sorry, I got to move. Because when God's presence came, Abraham stood and he waited on God. He just waited in the presence of God. When God called Moses up on Mount Sinai, and the Bible says that the clouds descend, his presence came on the mountain. You know what Moses did for 40 days? He waited on God. He waited on God. There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. His presence. They discover how sweet he is. Oh my goodness. In his presence, they discovered that they were safe. It was the safest place that they could be, that he could be, that they could be. They discovered, it's like the Bible says, you know, a man, it's like finding a treasure in a field, and you went and you sell everything and you buy that field because you know that in it is the most precious and valuable thing the most valuable thing in the whole wide world. They waited on God. No wonder when they came down, they could do the craziness that they did. Huh? No wonder the Bible says these men of faith, they walked in faith because they spent time in the presence of God. And the Bible says Jesus has broken the veil. There is nothing separating you and me from entering in the presence of God. The blood of a lamb, when it was placed on the mercy seat, the presence of God came down. How much more the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. That's why the Bible is saying that, man, his blood can wash away our sins. How much more his blood can enable us to serve him and serve him well. Praise God. I don't even know where I'm at with my nose. The blood of Jesus. Praise God. The most holy of holies is a place where God helps us to know his will and to live his will. The Holy Spirit is released for us, the presence of God, to move forward in faith and seize God's will, becoming like those who inherit his promises. Conquering kingdoms. Enforcing justice. Obtaining promises. Stopping the mouth of lions. Like, I'm hoping not to actually have to be in a position, but hey. Faith! That's what it did. By faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now, what is going to be your faith story? Oh, did he just turn that on me? I did. What is going to be our faith story? Maybe you're here today saying, well, I still need some of that elementary stuff, Pastor. Thank you so much. But I need some of that, and that's fine. We'll teach you the elementary stuff. But know what you're getting into. The elementary things is a launching point to develop faith to do God's will and to inherit his promises for your life. Amen? His promises. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3 says, therefore, since we have surrounded by so great, and I'm wrapping up now, a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such as hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The just shall live by faith. Amen. My prayer is that as we've heard the word of God, you know where you're at in your heart. Whether, hey, you know, I need some more elementary stuff. You know, you can dive in the word, and God will also begin to show you. You can approach the pastors, the leadership, and say, hey, I need some elementary stuff. We have stuff like that available for you. But my golly, if you are mature, brothers and sisters, it is time to seek the face of God. He's given to us everything that we need. Seek him in prayer. Ask him, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to read today? Who should I pray for today? Begin to talk to God, and He will show you. He loves you, He cares for you, and He wants the very best for you. And whether you believe it or not, the very best for you is His will. It's the very best. Can't get better than that. So seek God. This is not time for us to grow weary. It's not. It is the time for us to push on. Praise God. If your life is not lining up with the Word of God, it's time to say enough is enough. Enough is enough. God, you are my God and I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Sometimes we have to start with sometimes the confession. Sometimes God has saved us. Sometimes we don't feel like God has saved us. God has done so, but sometimes we don't feel it. And sometimes you have to speak to your feeling. I am a child of the living God. I am a child of the living God. I will not let the obstacles in my life change who God is. Enough is enough. My life will be found in your will. It's like say, Father, whatever you want to do with me, just do it. I surrender. Like how we sing the song, I surrender all. Well, something like that, right? But there you go. Right? We sang it. I surrender. I surrender. Yes. Surrender it all. Now, so for most of us, this is just, we're at the edge. Right? Pastor, are you teaching next week? Or am I preaching next week? But anyway, if not, there you go. There are some things in our lives, and I'm going to end with this. There are some things in our lives, some obstacles, some stuff that even men of great faith, like Abraham and Moses, that they encountered as they were walking their way of faith, right? There was discouragement. There were things that happened to them, right? We're going to look next week on how they were able to handle these things. How they were able to continue walking in faith in the midst of overwhelming obstacles so that we can learn from them and apply it to our lives. Let's rise to our feet. Jesus. I'm going to call the worship. There you go. Guys are on point. We need to build faith for our journey. And next week we're going to build some faith, some more faith for our journey. We're going the same direction, but it may look different for everyone. And so what we need faith for this journey that we have, right? If I were you, I would just get my Bible. I would look through on those elementary things and I would just brush up, right? I'll just brush up. You can go on our website. The sermon is going to be downloaded every Tuesday. So you just go and just hear it again if you need to hear it again. But brush up because you need faith for your journey. You will not be crippled by fear in the name of Jesus. You will move forward. We will move forward by faith. Amen? Praise God.